grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from John chapter 21, where it says, "When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" And today we say with Simon Peter that we love our Lord as well. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord talks to Simon Peter today and asks if he loves him. And later he says to Simon Peter, "Follow me." And today, as we and those who join us this day to make their confession, if we join them in making a confession today, it's good for us to see Christ also calling us to follow him. But it's good for us also to know what we're called to, what it means to love the Lord. Now, few people are fans of long-distance relationships. They may have to put up with them. And I know that they can be dealt with from personal experience, but even more because I've heard. Heard from a member who married 6 days before he went to boot camp, before he got shipped out to Korea. Who got married, and he and his wife didn't see each other for almost 2 years. And when he came back, he got to see the daughter who was born about soon after, who was born after he'd left. He got to see her for the first time when he returned. And I know it works because I got told this. When he was telling me how, after 60 years of marriage, he still missed her even 7 years after her funeral. See, they can work, but people surely don't seek them out. My wife and I, we got married right after I finished college. And we knew that we were going to be long distance for a while because I was in the Navy. And I had some things that needed to be done that would separate us. And we planned for it. We planned that she would finish her last year of college, and that we'd be long distance for that first year. That she'd get her degree while I was going to officer candidate school and then nuclear power school. And that we'd spend almost a year mostly apart. But we didn't want that separation, and I didn't want that separation. We'd face enough of that later when I'd have to be at sea. So instead, we plotted and planned how it could be that we could actually be together. And she talked with her dean. And she made a plan. And she came to nuclear power school with me, and there she registered at the University of Central Florida and took courses while I was in nuclear power school, and where we could spend almost every evening together. And we were together. And when that semester was done, she could transfer her courses back to Kirksville. She graduated. So we'd had a plan, but as it turned out, it wasn't a good one because we didn't want to have a long-distance relationship. And so we found another way. Well, God doesn't want a long-distance relationship today either, not with any believers, particularly those who confess his name today. And in our text, Jesus has been risen. He's been seen by his disciples at least twice. And Peter and six of the other disciples, they're going fishing. Perhaps just to pass the time. Perhaps as a way of life. Regardless, without Jesus, When it's just long distance with them, their fishing is useless. They catch nothing, though they fish all night. But God doesn't let them remain alone. Jesus doesn't let them remain alone. He doesn't let them remain distant. He comes to them and speaks to them. Children, have you caught any fish? Even when they don't know him, even when they're not seeking him and they really don't know who he is, he speaks his word. He tells them, throw their nets on the right side and they'll catch some. And their nets were filled. And now they know that they're not alone. They know it is the Lord. And you can hear John's joy as he cries and Peter's joy as he jumps in. The joy of all the disciples at hearing Jesus' voice, of being with him, of eating with him, of God being with his people. Peter and the disciples loved their Lord and they loved his presence. And we'll stop for a moment to ask ourselves, do we recognize our Lord? Because as we gather today, God speaks his word to us. Or as we learned in confirmation, his word has called me by the gospel and it's calling even today. And he invites us to eat with him. He provides the meal, his body and blood in with and under the bread and wine instead of bread and fish. But he provides the meal. The disciples recognized their Lord and they were happy to see him. Do we also recognize how he comes to us today? Do we share that joy of the disciples? But it doesn't end there, the story. Jesus does more. He cooks over the charcoal fire. And Peter is given a chance to make a confession. A better confession than he did over the last charcoal fire on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Jesus doesn't let that denial stand this time. He says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than the other disciples? That Peter had said that he'd never fall away, even if they all did? More than even the fish and the fishing and that way of life? He leaves the word ambiguous because he doesn't just speak to Simon Peter with these words. He speaks to us as well and asks, do we love him more than these? And he asks those words today of us and of the confirmants. The Lord liberates us in our professions. He liberates us from our pride. And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. A confession is made. A public confession. And may we also make such a confession that our Lord has given us all things, that he has sanctified and kept me in him, in Christ who died and rose, in the true faith, that to be in Christ, that in Christ he forgives my sins and the sins of all believers, that I've been purchased and won from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, with Christ's holy precious blood. May we make that confession that for all that God has done for us, and in him and in him alone, we love our Lord, as Peter did. He makes a good confession. But that confession isn't done. He makes it three times, that we can know that it's sure, but it's still not done. Because that confession is not done with just Peter's word. Nor is it done with ours. Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs. Peter confessed his love of his Lord. But the love of God, and that love of God does need to be confessed with the mouth. But it also needs to be confessed with the hands. Christ does not keep his servants gathered at the meal. He sends them out so that many more will be fed. And through Peter, God would share that word, His word. God would heal the sick. God would raise the dead. And these two, not just Peter's words, but these two, are the love of the Lord. And it's the same love that we are to have. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Use your mouth to speak my words to them. And use your treasure and hands to feed and tend them, that they too may be fed. We're still called to that today, just as Peter was. Peter's call extended even to his death, as he loved his Lord and proclaimed Christ's love, even when the world turned against him and stretched out his hands and put him also on a cross. Well, today we make that same promise, to be faithful even to death, as those who love the Lord. And we ask today that He keep us in the faith and keep us in that promise until that last day when we are raised to be with Him and raised to the eternal feast. Don't be in a long-distant relationship with the Lord. Draw close to hear the Lord. Don't be distant. Eat His meal. Don't be distant. Repent and rejoice and receive His forgiveness with thanksgiving. Don't be distant. Love the Lord. And don't be distant. But feed His sheep. The Lord is gracious and with His people, speaking to them and feeding to them, and He is so with us today, drawing close to us. And He gives us an opportunity to make confession, just as He did to Peter. Just as He gave Peter that same opportunity, not holding former sins against him, but saying, "Now, make a good confession." May we make such a confession today, with our mouths and with our hands and our whole lives. Amen.